Well, brothers, grace and peace. It is so good to see all of y'all here this morning. My name is Steve Brooks. I'm one of the pastors here at First Methodist Midland. My right-hand man, Kurt Borden, is with his family in El Paso, so he sends his regrets. Sometimes we will be doing this together. Sometimes it will just be me, sometimes it will be Pastor Kurt, and sometimes we may even have a guest speaker or two as we continue to go through the book of Ephesians, but nonetheless, we are certainly glad that you are here. Last week, I neglected to do something, and I want to make up for that, and that is this. At the beginning of these studies like this, I like to make some guarantees. Kenny, are you into guarantees? You love them. Well, I'm going to give you two. All right, and so the guarantees are this. Number one, if you stick with us through our whole study of the book of Ephesians, I guarantee you, and I'm not making this up, you will know the book of Ephesians better than 99% of the people in the world. How many things can you say that you are in the top 1%? Right? Guarantee you that will be the case. But I regret to tell you that doesn't mean jack squat. Because we may know the book of Ephesians, we may find out some interesting things about Paul and the Ephesians and Scripture, but unless you allow this book to shape your life and to be a source of transformation in your life, it really doesn't matter. And so that is our hope, right? That as we gather around God's word together as men, that we will allow these words to become a transforming agent in our lives, because that is why we are here for certain. And that's why, second guarantee, Kenny, is that I guarantee you that at the end of each one of our sessions, that we will end with a challenge. And that challenge is what I want to encourage you to kind of live with throughout the week. We put some cards on your table this week with some pens, and I encourage you all to grab one, and you can take some notes on the back. These are the two things that we want to encourage you to engage in as we study. What new thing did you learn? And what is this week's challenge? And what are you going to do about it? We want to hear God's word, we want to ponder it, and we want to put it into action, and that is what we are going to do. So last week's challenge, as y'all were, maybe some of you missed, or maybe forgot, remember I encourage you to think about two things. Number one, we talked about how that we are chosen. We are people that are picked by God, men that are picked by God, to reflect his character back into the world. We are chosen for that. We are picked. We are selected. And I encouraged you, I challenged you to accept your chosenness. And I also talked about how there's barriers to accepting our chosenness. And that is when we choose to become self-referenced, selfish. Maybe your wife has told you, man, you're being selfish today, or something along those lines. And I challenged you to invite God to expose your selfishness. So rhetorically, just for you, how did that go? And that is where the growth, the transformation is going to happen as we live with these challenges throughout the week. So want to pray, and we will pick up in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6. So let's pray together. God, our Father, our warrior, and our rock. You know those parts in us that we keep from you. You know where we are not transformed into your likeness. And you know what holds us captive to being all that you're calling us to be. Lord, I pray that you will free us from our reluctance to allow you to have all of us. Hear the deep cries of our hearts for wholeness, for peace. And by your grace, enable us today to be transformed by being in your presence, by being with our brothers, and by gathering around your word. We pray these things in Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen indeed. Well, remember, if you have a question, just raise your hand, and we are recording these sessions. So if you miss one, you just go to our website right there on the front page, click on Men's Bible Study, and you will be able to catch up with us, no problem. And if your friends who weren't able to make it this morning, just let them know that it's there, and they can catch up as well. So did anybody have any questions that they wanted to mop up from last week? Are we all ready to go? Ready? Okay, here we go. So we are in verse 6. We've just come out of this passage. We're in the middle of a long prayer that Paul is praying and praising God. And so verse 3 is this first word of praise, and verse 6 is the second word of praise. And so I want to ask you, what in your life do you feel is worthy of praise and celebration? Well, certainly if you have kids, you celebrate their birthday, right? Because it's like we see our kids as a gift. Maybe you celebrate a big win at work. Maybe you celebrate an anniversary, all those things. Paul is making the case in these passages that God is to be the source and the focus of our praise and our celebration, right? And that which we praise and celebrate and worship is worthy of our attention. I mean, think about throwing a birthday party for your kids and not doing any planning. Not doing any preparing, right? And that is where he has us here in this prayer. To the praise, he says, of his glorious grace. And there's another one of those key themes in the book of Ephesians is the theme of grace. We're going to unpack this today a little bit more than we did last week. Grace, and sometimes we're going to go really deep here, right? And so grace is the Greek word charis. Everybody say it? Charis. Maybe do you know some friends that are named charis or have named their kids charis? They're naming them grace. All right. What's interesting about grace, which when you unpack it in the Greek, it literally means a free gift. You don't earn it. You don't deserve it. And yet it is given to you. I mean, you have been the recipients of a lot of grace even since you got out of bed this morning. Things that you simply did not earn and did not deserve has brought you here, right? What's interesting is charis is a sister word to the Greek word chara. You can almost hear the similarities in the words. And that means joy. And the way that I understand those things is that, man, who doesn't want joy in their life? Who doesn't want peace? Right? The only means by which we experience true joy is through grace and through what God is doing in our lives and blessing us with, which he has freely given us. Wow. So as we work through especially Ephesians 1 through 3, the book of Ephesians is divided up into two main sections. The first section is chapters 1 through 3, which Paul is basically saying, hey, boom, this is who God is. And this is who is behind us, encouraging us and pushing us on to be all that he made us to be, because we have marred and we have ruined that for the most part. Paul wants to get clear on who the nature and character of God really is. And I want to encourage you. You have a picture of who God is in your mind and in your heart. And you carry that with you every day. And I tell you, if that picture of God is wrong, it will create a lot of problems in your life. But if you have this right and accurate and beautiful, good and true picture of the nature and character of who God is, that will set you on a trajectory of goodness and beauty for your life, for your family. Remember, we were talking about that, how that God is for us so that we can be for our family, for our workplace, and for our community. And that is where it will lead us. And so we begin to get these clues about who God really is. Is God stingy or is God gracious? Is God holding out on you just until you get everything just right? Or is he freely pouring out his grace into our lives, like dangling out there for us just to take it, to receive it? Well, according to Paul here, he has freely given us his grace. And in him, freely given us in the one he loves, like, and that is Jesus. And we're going to note in Ephesians, everything happens in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. And what Paul is trying to say is that any picture of God that you have has to be filtered through the picture of Jesus. Jesus is the perfect imprint of the nature and character of God. Anybody have any questions on verse 6 before we move on? Right. In him, this is verse 7, we have redemption. Now this word, redemption, simply means to save something. To go and grab it back. That it was in one place at one time, and then it moved away, and then you go and you grab it back. It's a rescue word that, in essence, God rescues, he saves us. But listen to this, redemption always has two movements. It is the saving from and the saving to something. So it's not just one part, whoo, God saved me, now I'm safe. But God saves us for a purpose. And that purpose is to live into our choosingness, right? That we are chosen, like we talked about last week. That he made this way through the blood of Jesus. We'll talk about his blood relative to the next phrase here that we're going to spend a lot of time talking about. Such an important line here. The forgiveness of sins. How many of y'all go around talking with your friends about your sins? Anybody? Anybody? Well, sin is something that it's like makes us uncomfortable. It's like we kind of go into denial. We know it's there. We feel guilt, right? Let's talk about it. So the word literally means in Greek, whenever you see sin in the New Testament, it is the word harmatia, which is an archery term. Any archers in the room? Any deer hunters that hunt with a bow? That's only real deer hunting, right? When you hunt with a bow? Yeah, okay, there we go. Well, have you ever missed? You sinned. Whenever you miss what you're shooting at, that is a sin. Not a sin like we talk about, but that is what the word means. And so what the biblical writers are doing by using that word is, man, God's target is big. It is like easy to hit because we know his character and we know our calling and we know that we're chosen. Big target. Nail it right in the middle every time. Over and over and over again. And then something happens. And we get distracted over here. And we start thinking, you know, maybe this God that we're aiming for is not all that he's cracked up to be. One of the things when we read these books in the New Testament is we always have to keep in the back of our mind Genesis 1, 2, and 3. And you'll hear Pastor Kurt and I refer back to them over and over and over again. And we need to spend a lot of time reading them and pondering them and trying to get a sense of what happened there in the garden. In essence, when you think about the Adam and Eve story in Genesis 3, man, they were walking and talking with God on a regular basis. Is what we're supposed to understand by reading the text. They were nailing the mark. And then they started to hear another voice. And the voice caused them to doubt the goodness of God. That God indeed was holding out on them, which was actually completely contrary to the truth. And so, whenever Eve reached up and took the fruit, she went over here. And she decided to start shooting at another mark. And that other mark was supposed to lead to a more fulfilling life, more knowledge, more instant gratification, more life on her terms. And Adam joins right along. And you know what happens? They get afraid. And they run. And they hide. Fight or flight. You've heard that before, right? That those are our normal human responses to threat. Is the God who is good, he all of a sudden, in their mind, turns into a monster. And so they run and hide. It is when we choose to say, God, you're holding out on me. I don't trust your goodness. I don't trust that you have what is best for me and my family and my tribe. I've got to go on my own. That, in a nutshell, is sin. You may say, no, stealing is sin. Yeah. Looking at pornography is sin, yeah. I mean, you can feel it, lying, being dishonest at work. Those are all sins, but brothers and sisters, that's about two layers removed from the deep stuff. Every sin that I know goes back to this. Is God who God says he is? Because if he is, there's nothing I need to do over here. I can stay here. But, right, there's forgiveness. When we choose this, there is forgiveness that is offered to us to reorient our life back here. And this forgiveness that we are offered, it's just like grace. It's there. And it's freely given. But grace and forgiveness are never cheap. We aren't ever just forgiven just for the sake of being forgiven. But we are forgiven because what happened to Adam and Eve? They got afraid and they hid. So forgiveness gives us a clean space. Everybody say clean space. This clean space where you and I can come out of hiding and say, okay, God, let's fix this together. How was I not trusting in your goodness? How were my acts of sin a reflection of my lack of trust and faith in you? And God gives us all of this space to start working with us, to heal us, and to cleanse us from our brokenness and from our unrighteousness. We as men love to take matters into our own hands. Am I right? This is a problem. Because when we take matters into our own hands, our hands are clenched and we have to strive and to strain. But when we ask for and receive forgiveness, you see what we have to do? We have to open our hands and our hearts and walk into this clean space so that the transformation can begin. How many times have you found yourself saying, dang it, I did that yesterday? And you've like, that's just a normal way of life. Over here, a normal way of life? This is not the biblical story. That we are redeemed, we are forgiven for a purpose, and that purpose is to be transformed into who we were truly made to be. Forgiveness provides a clean space for us to trust God and experience His transformation. Questions? Comments? And again, this forgiveness does not, God is not stingy with it, but just notice how this continues to be like an abundant, gracious act on God's part in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us. God is not holding back. With all wisdom and understanding, He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ. What is the will of God? Well, what we've already learned so far in our study is the will of God for all of us, for us as men, is for us to know, understand, and trust the nature and character of who God really is. And then to be so captivated by that, that then we are transformed into His likeness so that we can reflect His goodness back into the world. We are chosen, and this is all back to Genesis chapter 1. And that is His purpose. Verse 10, to put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity, and I really want you to underline, circle, highlight the word unity. That becomes a big theme in the book of Ephesians. To bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth. Underline also heaven and earth. Now, when you think of heaven, most likely you're going to think of the place that you go when you die. It's okay. Is that kind of your understanding of heaven, the place that you go when you die? Well, whenever you think about heaven and earth together, I want you to start considering to think about it in a different way. Is that okay? That heaven is God's space. That earth is our space. And we have this idea that there is a hard and fast line between the two. And that at best, heaven and earth actually just butt up against each other. Well, the biblical story actually tells a different story. The biblical story is a story that says, the action, the good, the strong, the true, the sure, that actually happens when the two overlap. The overlap happened in the garden. Heaven and earth, God's space and our space were perfectly united. It's the word that we just underlined, right? Unity. They were perfectly united. But when Adam and Eve said, no more, they were separated. But God, because of God's nature and character, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we've already seen how that is beginning to work its way through all three persons of the Trinity are at work here. During these days, have y'all heard of about various conspiracy theories? About COVID-19, about Black Lives Matter, about all that we've been dealing with, conspiracy theories, about vaccination chips and all that stuff, and we get all worked up about these various conspiracy theories. I want to invite you to do something. When you hear them, just take a deep breath. Because this is what is true. That if anybody is conspiring anything, it is the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are conspiring to bring heaven and earth back together. That is a conspiracy worth getting on board with. All the other stuff, bleh. Because you see, this is the big purpose. And so whenever you think about, like, when all the action really happens in the Old Testament and then moving into the New, it's when heaven and earth overlap, heaven and earth touch at the tabernacle, where God's presence meets and talks with Moses, right? Then again at the temple. And then when you move into the New Testament, you get to book of Acts and Acts chapter 2 with Pentecost. What made that moment so powerful is that heaven actually filled the disciples. And wherever disciples of Jesus go, you know what they do? They take little pockets of heaven wherever they go. And so you're part of the conspiracy. As men, as followers of Jesus, you are part of the conspiracy to bring heaven and earth back together. God is at work to unify our lives, people to God, and unify people with one another. Would you agree that there is a lot of division in our lives and in the world in which we live? Wherever you see division, that is where God is inviting us to be a means of grace to bring people together. And it's not through your own strength or through your own power, but it is through the power of Christ that lives and dwells in you. Whenever, you ready? Whenever you are willing to give God clean space to work transformation in your life. So, here is the challenge for the week. Are you ready? I want you to consider, I want to challenge you to think about ways that you have been feeling guilty lately. And to ponder and think about areas of your life where you need to ask God for forgiveness. And maybe even a better way to put it is to simply receive it. Because it's already there. if you are carrying around guilt with you, there is no reason for you to walk out of this door today carrying it. Think about ways that you need, areas of your life where you need to accept God's grace and accept God's forgiveness. The second part of the challenge is this. I want you to consider to ask God, God, how may you and I and others work together? As you, we now have this clean space, right? How may we work together for you to truly change me so I don't have to feel like I need to keep shooting over there because I know that that brings yuck in my life. And that work is not instantaneous, brothers and sisters, but it takes time and it's worth the effort. I give you a bonus challenge, and this is really, really hard for guys, but I want to encourage you to consider doing it, to have a conversation with another guy in your life about some of this. Maybe not the biggest thing, but maybe a small thing, just so that you can start holding each other accountable, right? Or maybe your wife, somebody, getting held accountable so we can stay in the clean space so God can continue to do his work. How's that for a challenge? That's a lot, I understand. But this is where the good work happens. All right, so y'all been pretty quiet on questions today. If you don't have a question, no problem. But now's the last time before we're done. All right. See, I can't even get the microphone to work. All right, here we go, Wade. Maybe. Nope. There you go.
All right, Steve, this is pretty profound. Can you state that second thing we need to work on again? Say it one more time.
Okay.
I want to write it down on a sentence.
So you've confessed, you have asked forgiveness for a sin. Okay. Mm-hmm. So now there's this clean space where you don't have to be afraid, but you can walk into this clean space with God and say, okay, God, let's work on this. What, like let's just say the sin may be pornography. Okay, that's a big one, right? God, why do I struggle with this? What am I trying to get out of this? You know, you're objectifying women, you're being unfaithful to your spouse. Why do I feel like I need that for some sort of abundance in my life? Fullness in my, when you're offering me all the fullness that I need, what is it? And then you just spend some time listening to God. That's why we also need to talk to other people about it. Because other, I guarantee you, there's some of you in this room that are struggling with that. Well, you're in good company because there's other people that are struggling with that, right? It's just mind-boggling how accessible that is these days, right? And so just working with God, and that you don't leave that space, Wade, because there's no reason to leave the space because you don't have to be afraid. Because God is inviting, because of the forgiveness and his welcome, you don't have to leave the space, but trust that he is working with you to free you from that. Does that help?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Anybody else? Well, you've all got a big day ahead of you. And I know that because of who God is and because of who he has made us to be as his strong and chosen instruments to be for those that God will place in our path, I know that each of you will rise to the occasion today and be God's man in each interaction that you have. May you not lose your temper. Can I get an amen? Amen. And may you be a source of strength and of grace in people's lives today. Go in peace. Amen.